We turn our attention now to the Los Angeles Unified School District and a lawsuit, a class action filed against them just over a month ago, that is critical of how the district handles distant learning. It argues that the district's online offerings fall short and violate the plaintiff's right to an education. And the plaintiffs in the lawsuit include Latino and African-American parents, parents of students with special needs, and parents of students who are in the process of learning English. Joining us to talk about the lawsuit and also the challenges that the district is facing in doing distance learning is Judith Larson. Ms. Larson is a plaintiff in the class action lawsuit and a parent leader in the Worth More LA movement, which consists of a coalition of parents critical of the educational cuts that affect their children. Ms. Larson, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it very much. Share with us at root what you are alleging the district has failed to provide.
Yes, good morning to you. Thank you for having me here. Thank you to all your listeners. And yeah, we know and understand that the COVID got us all by surprise, and that can justify a little bit the poor instruction for our students back in the spring. So if we focus now on the, this present semester, it's haven't changed at all. They still failing, not only the students and the families, but some of the good teachers we have out there. So that's after many intents to communicate with the district, we decide that this is the last resource and this is the last thing that we need to do. And that's why we create this platform. And we hundreds of parents, like you say, from African-American communities and Latino communities. And this, if you want to be specific, it's South Central, Pico Union, and Southeast Los Angeles, and that is what I call.
So those neighborhoods, those areas of the district. Ms. Larson, what do you want to see as a remedy here, particularly if the district doesn't feel it's safe yet to bring teachers and students back into classrooms? Is there something that the district could do short of, you know, resuming on-campus classes that would satisfy what you're seeking?
Yes, I would say that we have, 7 months already to do some remedies, and it's not happening. And first of all, what the district needs to understand is that it's the district that is doing less than other districts. That's a fact. It's not something that I come up with. And that really need to change, because the poor education and our district, Los Angeles district, it's been poor for too long, way too long. So that really needs to change. And we wanted, the parents wanted to be part of the decision makers, because we're the most interested in our education. They're our future. And if we really wanted to invest in a good society, we need to invest in our education, and that's not happening. And I'm sorry, I may sound wrong, but I want my daughter and other students in my community to have the same, benefits. Let's put it that way. Other more privileged communities, and that's not happening in LA school district.
We're talking with Judith A. Larson. She is a parent leader in Worth More LA, a movement which involves this class action lawsuit against LA Unified over what the lawsuit alleges are substandard teaching practices and educational opportunities for students within LA Unified. There's also a state lawsuit that has been filed similarly alleging that other public schools in California have dropped the ball in providing effective distance learning during this time of the pandemic. Also joining us, in addition to Ms. Larson, is John Rogers, professor of education at UCLA. He's faculty director of Center X, which prepares aspiring teachers to become social justice educators, and he directs UCLA's Institute for Democracy, Access, Education and Access. Professor Rogers, thank you for being with us. This is something that we hear from so many parents, beyond Ms. Larson, of course, that the teaching is very hit and miss online and distanced education, that some teachers have really adapted and really seized this opportunity to learn new skills and to effectively teach. Other teachers have just been at sea and not able to make that shift. What realistically can LA Unified do to improve the quality of distance learning?
The concerns that Mrs. Larson is raising are real concerns and concerns that parents across the country have been articulating for the last several months. I think that the pandemic has laid bare a set of pre-existing inequalities that have played out in our schools, and it's also exacerbated those inequalities. So a number of students and families haven't had sufficient access to either devices or the connectivity necessary to participate in a meaningful way in remote learning. Families sometimes haven't had the training to use those devices to connect well. And I think the other thing that we need to talk about is the need for teachers to have as much training and support as possible so that they can provide high quality learning in this remote context.
Now, does LA Unified, to your knowledge, provide special training time? My wife works in the Glendale district, and they have specified time set aside every week for training on distance learning. And, you know, that plus what teachers do on their own is what enables them to adapt to the demands of doing this. Do you know if that's happening in LA Unified?
It definitely has happened. There has been ongoing professional development for educators. There still is a need for more. And there's also been extensive efforts by the Los Angeles Unified School District to provide devices to students, to provide hotspots. And yet there's a need for more. And so I think that's why this lawsuit was filed yesterday by Public Counsel, the public interest law firm in the Superior Court in Alameda, saying that this is a problem that the state really bears responsibility for. The state needs to create systems that ensure that all students have meaningful access. And then once this pandemic is over, that there are remedies that can be put in place to ensure that those students who have not received sufficient education have additional supports so that they can catch up and have the sort of education that will allow them to achieve their goals, as Mrs. Larson wants.
Well, how though would the state do that? I mean, isn't the state educational infrastructure somewhat limited? Isn't education really the responsibility of the local school district? So how could the state come up with some sort of a remedy here that would apply to rural and huge districts like LA Unified?
Sure.
What would they do?
Well, it's important to note that the state is the constitutionally responsible party for ensuring quality education and equal education to all students. The state then delegates to districts like the Los Angeles Unified School District the responsibility for administering that education. So ultimately, the state has to ensure that every student has a decent education, that every student has in equal education. The state can do a couple different things. The state can direct funds to districts. The state can encourage districts to provide the sort of professional development we were talking about. The lawsuit that was filed in the court yesterday called upon the state to direct districts to also provide training to parents so that they can support students to learn in this remote learning context. The state could also take actions to ensure that broadband access is available across the state. In a survey that I did at the end of the last school year in late May and June, one of the things that we found was that the rural districts in California were far behind other districts in terms of whether or not families had connectivity. And so that calls for the need for the state to take action to ensure broadband access is available widely across California.
And that's, of course, been a huge challenge across the United States, where satellite broadband is available but very expensive and much slower than wired broadband access. So, you know, that is an infrastructural problem that's widespread in this country. We'll continue our conversation talking about the lawsuits that have been filed against public schools here in California over the state of distance learning. I'd like to hear from you and what you think of these lawsuits. We're at 866-893-KPECC. How good a job has your school, your teachers, your district done in working with your kids on distance learning? 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back in just 90 seconds. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle, joined by Judith A. Larson, plaintiff in a class action lawsuit filed by Worthmore LA, a movement representing parents of students in parts of Los Angeles and LA Unified that are lower income communities. They say their students, their daughters and sons have been particularly hard hit by the move to distance learning during the pandemic. Also with us from UCLA, education professor John Rogers. Jeffrey writes on the Air Talk page, what if the tables were turned and school districts sued parents for not providing a nurturing home learning environment? The idea that suing schools because they haven't found the perfect solution for teaching students under the current pandemic disaster is ludicrous. This is another example of our society expecting our public schools to provide child care, health services, and quality education without proper resources and personnel. She's in over her head, tweets at AirTalk, the fact that other countries and cities have managed to keep kids in school and we haven't. We failed our kids. They might say distance learning is the best we can do, but in that case, our best isn't good enough. Our kids deserve better. That's She's in over her head, tweeting at AirTalk, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. By the way, we did, of course, contact LA Unified and ask a representative of the district to join us, but they didn't have anyone available to comment on the lawsuit that's been filed. Let me go back to UCLA Professor of Education, John Rogers. So this is something we hear a lot here in Southern California. Why is it that schools in other countries that have been hard hit by the pandemic also have been able to open schools and we haven't here in California?
Well, many of the countries where the schools have opened did a much better job with creating a public health environment in which they reduced the infection rate, they could contact trace, they could limit the exposure and threat of COVID. We've done a terrible job here in the United States. Now, it is true that in many parts of the United States, we do see now some schools open. I've been doing interviews with principals the last 3 weeks, high school principals all across the country. Some are in remote learning, some are in hybrid, some are open. What I've seen is that in areas where there's very low infection rates, schools have been able to put forward an education when they have about half the number of students on campus, and they have extraordinary health efforts to make sure that things are clean, make sure students are masked. It is the case that as infection rates have risen in some of those schools, principals have told me they've had to shut down because teachers have gotten sick and they can't staff, or students have gotten sick and they've had to back off. And when you move back and forth between in-person and remote learning, it creates a climate of insecurity and constant change that is not beneficial to education.
So are you saying that that sort of opening up, shutting down, that's actually worse than doing it distance learning?
I think that the rapid change and the lack of clarity creates an environment that's very difficult on educators, very difficult on families, and very difficult on students. I know remote instruction is not ideal, but having clarity has its benefits. And so if we're in a situation over the next few months, until we have the vaccine you were just talking about in place, where we need to do remote instruction, let's do that well. Let's ensure that everyone has the conditions that are necessary for full participation in remote instruction. And then let's put in place, when we're back in person, a set of conditions that provide intensive supports to students so that they can learn and have the sorts of developmental experiences that they need.
What's a realistic expectation for teachers in this? Because one of the things that I've been hearing a lot from our listeners who have kids in public school is, as I mentioned at the outset of the segment, a lot of hit and miss. You've got some teachers that have really done a terrific job of adapting to this and have, you know, kind of figured it out. And others who just have been resistant and are struggling and just have not, you know, gotten with it. So what, for those teachers that are really struggling, what more can districts do to help them?
I think ensuring that teachers have as much support as possible, as much professional development as possible. Clarity about expectations is really important. And so the LAUSD does have clarity about having a certain amount of time every day that's synchronous instruction in which teachers and students are in person together. Clarity about those expectations is extremely important. I think that the district may want to move more forcefully in the coming months to creating some more in-person opportunities for students with special needs. There's been movement in that direction, but I think if they can take further action towards that end, I think that would serve students really well.
Of course, you know, some of that can be even more challenging than classroom, though, to do it with special needs students because of the need to work in closer proximity to a student to deliver some of those services, because those, in fact, can be higher risk than typical classroom instruction.
That's true, Larry, but it's also the case that if we just have a small number of students on campus at a given time, we can provide services in a safer environment. We can provide services outdoors even. And so I think that there are ways that targeted support to smaller numbers of students who have particular needs can take precedence at this point, and that we can provide more intensive support to a broader number of students when everyone's back in person.
We're talking with John Rogers, UCLA Professor of Education, and he directs UCLA's Institute for Democracy Education and Access. Judith A. Larson joining us as well. She's a parent leader in Worth More LA, a movement which consists of groups of parents and community members critical of the type of education being delivered at a distance for LA Unified students. She's plaintiff in this class action lawsuit that was filed just over a month ago. Connie in Los Feliz says regarding iPads provided by LA Unified, they don't have parental controls on them, so kids can go on YouTube and Minecraft all the time. I have to constantly come back and check that they're listening to the teacher. I've called the district repeatedly to try and get them to turn it off. We went back and forth with the school. In the end, we bought our third grader a $500 laptop so we could have parental controls on it. I think a lot of people throughout LAUSD are having the issue if they're dependent on the devices given out by the school. John Rogers, you familiar at all with that issue?
Not that particular issue, but the broader question being raised speaks to the steep learning curve for educators and families in figuring out what it means to have this one-to-one instruction in which every student has a tablet or a laptop. I know in talking to other LAUSD principals, one of the challenges they faced is that the iPads didn't have the up-to-date software that allowed their teachers to have the most engaging and creative instructional practices. And so they had to shift to something else. This is a difficult process. I think many educators are working long hours and doing everything that they can to provide high quality education. It still is very difficult. We still need to do more. But I do want to give credit to those educators who really have been heroic in their actions.
Yeah, so many have just taken this as something that they've got to figure out a way to work through and still connect with their students and to provide a high-quality educational experience even at a distance. And And so we offer our praise and our support to teachers and other educational employees for the terrific work that in so many cases are being done and tremendous sacrifices that so many educators are making. Thank you so much, Professor John Rogers, UCLA. We appreciate your being with us. And Judith A. Larson of Worthmore, LA as well. This is Giving Tuesday, which is a fairly recent day designated to support charitable causes. That includes KPCC. I'll update you in a little bit on where we stand on our $10,000 challenge today. But I didn't know much about Giving Tuesday myself, I have to admit. And one of our AirTalk producers found an interesting piece about the origins of it. We're going to talk with the author of that piece in Vox when we come back in just 1 minute on AirTalk. Talk.